Today, the remains of the Saxon mother and child who've been in the chapel of rest for the last few weeks, we'll be having a small funeral ceremony for them. The gentleman who his family had been looking after the remains of that the family, he and some of his children and relatives will be coming today. So that will be happening about 1:30, and that will be beginning in the Chapel of Rest, and then we'll carry the coffin out to the Buddha Grove and inter the remains of the mother and child, Ifra and Anis, there in the Buddha Grove. So that should be just about a half-hour long ceremony. So that will be happening today. So all Sangha members who'd like to be involved in that, just be promptly at the Chapel of Rest for 1:30. So any of the monks or nuns who'd like to be part of that, please do come along. Oh, this, to give a little bit of background about this unusual funeral, the man who contacted us, called David Try, is an ex-soldier, military police, British Army, and he grew up in Shropshire, in the rural part of the Midlands, and his uncle had a farm with a River Dee running through it, and the river washed away the bank and unearthed the bones there in the earth. And so his uncle, this was back in the early 60s, then didn't know whether these were people who died recently or a long time ago, and took the bones to the local coroner's office, and they said, oh, these are from the Saxon era of England. They're very, very old. And they're probably from a mother and child, a woman about 22, 23 years old, and a child of 2 or 3. So the family, and then local museums or authorities weren't interested in looking after them, so the family kept the bones of the mother and child. And then when the uncle died, then it came to the nephew, Mr. Try. So he, being an ex-soldier, his memories of his life in the army and things he'd been involved in times of combat, both in Ireland and in the Far East, weighing on his conscience very heavily and feeling a lot of regrets about his life in the military and things he'd been involved in. And so he was very forthcoming about this as the motivation. He said, well, I can't undo the harm I've done in terms of my life as a soldier, but at least these people that my family have been looking after for all these years, at least I can give the Saxon mother and child a proper resting place. So it was out of his sense of regret and trying to make amends for his past unskillful actions that he felt moved for concern for this mother and child who probably died by violence. Well, he said died together back in probably about 1400 or 1500 years ago. So he then contacted his local church, and he lives quite nearby, and they said, well, sorry, these people weren't Christians. This was in a pre-Christian era, so we can't bury them in the churchyard. And he was very surprised and a bit upset about that, and so asked around, and nobody would allow them to be buried in a Christian graveyard. So having had no previous connection with us as Buddhists, he thought, well, let's try the Buddhists. And so meeting him and hearing his story, I immediately said, well, I'm pretty sure we can find a place for them, and that they're very happy to accommodate that wish of yours. So that's the motivation behind this. Also, we've chosen a spot out in the Buddha Grove. This is a grove of trees that was planted when Amaravati was first begun, and it was on the inspiration of Lumpur Samedo, is planted in the form of a Celtic cross, both to respect the religious tradition before we came here as Buddhists, respecting the Christian ancestors here, but also the trees that were chosen to form the Buddha Grove were the trees that were sacred to the pre-Christian religions as well, so the yew and the oak and other the trees that were part of the spiritual life of the Celtic and the ancient Britons before the Christians came here. You know, we can sometimes forget that Christianity is a kind of Middle Eastern import. to Western Europe, but that, 1500, 2000 years ago. So the Buddha Grove seemed to be a very suitable place. So we've picked a spot under one of the close to one of the oak trees and yew trees, and so that the burial will happen there. Now, I felt this was this man, even though he had no real connection with Buddhism and Buddhist practice, I felt this was a very a skillful principle that in all of our lives we've all done things, said things that have been regrettable, and that some in a very sort of intense or heavy way, some in a lighter way, but we can all carry those around and they feel a weight in the heart, a density or a burden, something that we damaged or we broke, or something, someone that we harmed, that and a harm that can't be undone, that it can't be fixed, we can't go back and change it. And I'm not reading anybody's mind, in case any of you are thinking, he knows. Yeah, I don't. But it's just very likely in all of our lives, that's how it's been. But the Buddha pointed out that regardless of the density of negative karma we might have created, that rather than dwelling upon the past and creating self-hatred or negativity with those actions, or pushing them away and glossing them over, pretending it didn't really happen or it didn't really matter, over and over again the Buddha would say, to recognize our unskillful actions as that, to recognize our transgressions, what was unskillful or harmful, to recognize it as that, and to endeavor to do better in the future, then this is what we call development or furtherance in the Buddha sasana, in spiritual training. So I felt that was very skillful that this gentleman had recognized the unskillfulness of his past and then wanting to do something wholesome and act in a way that respected the lives of others, to use the painfulness of his memories of his past actions to encourage greater wholesomeness and care and compassion for others in the present and into the future. Because that's really the best advice, whether it's something that we've done or also just someone close to us who's passed away or who we lost. We can take that painfulness and use it as a cause for us waking up, and then that feeling of loss or damage or hurt that we're experiencing becomes the very thing, becomes a source of energy and a way of supporting the initiative to wake up and to liberate our heart and to use our life in a more skillful way. So that's a little bit of a background to that. So the bones are there in a little coffin. Actually, the coffin is made from a box that was for a Buddha image, perfect size, for the bones of the mother and child. And they're there in the Chapel of Rest. So anyone who'd like to go and pay your respects this morning or be part of the little funeral ceremony at 1:30. We'll try and begin promptly at 1:30 so that then those who want to go to the meditation class can attend that at 2. But those who'd like to go by this morning and pay your last respects, then please feel most welcome to do so in the Chapel of Rest at the back of the temple.